went into yesterday the mechanics of communication rather thoroughly. Give you a very, very fast rundown on this. You've got cause, distance, effect, and then the effect point turns around and becomes cause point, and then you get distance, and the original cause is now effect again. And this communication back and forth across that distance is non-aberrative. No real aberration would ever occur if you had a two-way communication. Cause, distance, effect, the effect reversing to become cause, distance, and the original cause becoming effect. Now, if we had that occur, even though the duplication was rather poor, we still wouldn't have anything aberrative. When we have cause, distance, effect, wait, with expectancy of the other way, flow, we got trouble. And that trouble is very widely and adequately described in Dianetics, Modern Science of Mental Health, APNA, self-analysis, Science of Survival, 16G, 24G. We're just talking about that trouble. That's all the trouble we're talking about all the way along the line. Is simply this cause, distance, effect, wait. The formula of aberration then is cause, distance, effect, wait, try to get an answer from someplace else. And in expecting an answer from the original target, we then get a situation whereby the individual becomes impatient for that answer, and having become impatient for the answer, is going to get an answer from somewhere, and so introduces a via into the communication line. Cause, distance, effect, he doesn't get the answer from what he expected to get it from, and so we have trouble. All right, now let's take this as it applies to an engram, and we discover that when you said to Mr. Blow, how do you feel? The odd part of it is that he's already unconscious, you know, and the odd part of it is he has been cause, distance, effect along the line for so long that he can assume unconsciousness, and he will get an answer. Oh, yes. He will get an answer against which he isn't braced. How do you feel is not an originating communication as far as he is concerned. It is some sort of an answer. Now, let's get this very clearly. It doesn't matter whether you have question marks, exclamation points, semicolons, or dashes in the communication system. Remember that meaning has minimal action here. Significance, meaning, doesn't matter much what's on this communication line. It is the weight, size, velocity factors which are the most interesting. All right, we have cause, distance, effect. Now, he said, cause, across the distance, and he waited, and he waited. Never got an answer. And then one day you come along, give him an answer. Remember, he's waiting for an answer from someplace else. What do you mean, an answer? Somebody interested in him. Somebody concerned with him. Somebody to give him some attention. Somebody to notice him. Anything like that. You see? So if you came up to him while he was in a very anattend state, you're liable to hook into almost any old waiting line. Now, this individual has been hit, hasn't he? He has really received an answer of one kind or another, hasn't he? You've spoken to him, and he's still receiving an answer, isn't he? And he will confuse your answer with the velocity of the answer he has received. Let us say he's been knocked down by a cop, and he was in a more law-abiding society, and was knocked down by a cop. And as we go across the line, you might say, as the cop went across the line and hit this fellow, he gave him an answer. You get the idea. It has no significance. We're merely getting a heavy particle reply. Right? All right, he's in a state of reply, see? I've got a reply. At last, for God's sakes, I know I've got a reply, see? Bang! Well, you know, somebody answered. He's convinced of it. He knows somebody answered. And you come along and you compound the felony by simply saying to him, how do you feel? This is all part of the answer. And he's got it, and he is gripping it to his bosom. And he is holding this facsimile in upon him, so he holds, how do you feel, in upon him. Then somebody else says to him, how do you feel? And this becomes part of the answer. And somebody else says, how do you feel, later on, and that becomes part of the same answer. And it's all part of the same answer. You see, a thetan actually cannot receive an effect. So if he starts handing out lots of effects, he thinks. If he starts handing out a tremendous number, you see, he can think he can receive an effect. He can make up his mind that he can receive an effect. But if he starts thinking in terms of just this, look at that horrible effect I have delivered, or look at that effect I have delivered, you see, he can't receive one. Now there is the little puzzle on the whole track. We have consideration only. This is all we have, is consideration. You see? So, somebody put a mock-up up, and he considered this mock-up was real. You know, this mock-up was alive. It wasn't another life, form, or energy, space, idea, production unit he was addressing, which itself could not receive an effect, you see. He was addressing a form, and it was alive. You get the idea? All right. So he thinks he has achieved an effect. He considers that he has because he wanted to. All right. He thinks he's achieved an effect. You see this? He hasn't really, but he thinks he has. So this makes him feel like he ought to have one now. See, we ought to have a two-way communication involved here. And this again is a consideration. If you can get enough people to repent, and believe they are all sinful, and ask forgiveness, and etc. Yap. You see, if we can run this in on somebody, he will recognize that he should have an effect. You get that? He should have punishment. He should have an effect his way. All he do is come along and get him to make up his mind, see, that he actually has created some effects. And now he ought to have one, or he's going to get one, or Yawa, or somebody who lives in a trunk with a leopard skin. That, by the way, is the Christian God. I'm sorry to have to interject that statement, but I'm always struck by this tremendous thing here, of all of these poor people going around not knowing anything about the anatomy of their own religion, being rather interested in and somewhat practiced in the investigation of barbaric customs in minor societies here and there around the world, and having been more or less tuned up and alerted very early in my life, it is rather hard for me to assume a part of attitude toward my own society. You see, I was better educated in looking at other societies before I started living in this one. Naturally, I come back and take a look at this one, and it becomes very amusing because you look at it along the same standards any anthropologist or ethnologist applies. See, a barbaric society, you see some of the darndest things. We see, for instance, a revolt took place in the New Testament against the Old Testament, and now we publish both books in the same volume. The Old Testament was a red, raw revolt against the... New Testament's red, raw revolt against the Old Testament. And here we... Same order of magnitude. Boy, if you want something to fight itself, there certainly is a symbol. And then although a lot of people will say carelessly, well, God is everywhere, remember that this was an idea which was introduced rather latterly in Christian religion. The God of which they speak, of whom they speak continually, is Yahweh. Lord knows how it's pronounced because it is so secret that nobody really is supposed to be able to pronounce it, so they omitted all of the vowels in the word. And they spell it only with its consonants. So Lord knows how this word is to be pronounced. But more agreed upon pronunciation among scholars so they can talk about it is Yahweh. And this is the Christian God. But he lives in a trunk with a leopard skin. That's right. That is the full story. We get ourselves... you wonder where I'm going with this and why I'm suddenly talking to you about this. You'll see this in a minute. Put a method here in our madness. This fellow, you see, gets talked to on the basis, and he talks to other people on the basis that they really ought to have an effect because there's some compensating or some retaliatory force necessary to keep the universe nicely and neatly in balance, you see. Of course, sooner or later, they're going to move Yahweh out of a trunk and put him in all space. Because what do you never get an effect from? What do you never get an effect from?
Space.
There are no piece of space, no piece of space has ever smote you. It couldn't. And so they start putting demons and devils in this space. But what's very interesting, this is based upon the absolute truth of the matter. Awareness of awareness units can locate themselves utterly unseen in space. So we have this high truth. Now we go down to the fact that the fellow can never receive a motivator, you might say, from space. He can never receive a two-way communication from space directly, he believes. Or he himself has been in space delivering, almost as space, quite invisible, delivering effects at people or things or other spaces, delivering an effect, you see, an effect, an effect, an effect, and you can't exteriorize out of this space all of a sudden. Why can't he exteriorize? Because he's waiting for the answer out of the space. Now let's say you knew an awareness unit by the name of Joe. Let's bring this down to common basics here. There isn't a single human being, or actually even, finally, a dog or a cat or a cockroach that cannot inhabit space totally invisibly. Not any single life form anywhere in this universe is exempt from being an invisible cause point trying to create an effect in space. You see? No form is. All right? They keep doing this, they keep doing this, and then they wonder how they get stuck in this universe. Well, how do they get stuck in this universe? They keep waiting for an answer. You know, the only way you'd get stuck would be to wait around, wouldn't it? All right? Supposing you started waiting around until it became obsessive. Huh? Well, you'd naturally then be stuck somewhere, wouldn't you? So we wonder why somebody is in the physical universe here, as we call it, the messed universe, and of course, on a typically only one basis, the physicists, the chemists, and the astronomers, and so forth, believe this is the only universe. They have even started calling galaxies of this universe island universes or other universes. They're really fishing for it, because it doesn't happen to be the only universe there is by a long shot. Yet people and things and life forms get in this universe, they cause and effect and wait for the answer and get no answer. And they wait. And then you pick them up sooner or later as a deacon in the church having visions about God coming down to them and giving them the word that they have to burn the belfry. You see how this would happen inevitably? All right. The Thetan delivers. Now let's look at duplication as part of the formula. The Thetan delivers an effect against the body. He delivers an effect against the body. He very easily can do this. He delivered effect because he can manufacture the energy which delivers the effect, you see. This is not intimately connected to himself, however. So he delivers this effect on a body and delivers this effect on the body. And nobody ever really turns around and says, Thetan, what are you doing delivering an effect against me? This just doesn't happen. We have this as an activity which is a one-way flow. So he delivers effect against the body and waits for the effect. And gets it. And delivers the effect against the body and waits for the effect and gets it. And delivers the effect against the body and waits for the effect and... It's a miss. Delivers the effect and waits for the... Miss. Something must be happening to my power, he says. Something is upsetting here, one way or the other. And so he delivers the effect against the body and he knows he really can't reach it, you see. But he waits for the effect anyway. And he makes up his mind he doesn't have any power at all. He decides to be the answer. So he flips around and becomes the body. And that is the original evolution of an interiorization, how it comes about. It's just like that. Get the idea? Now, we deliver an effect against the body, and deliver an effect against the body, and deliver an effect against the body, and deliver an effect against the body. And pretty soon, we just give up waiting for answers. We know that we're going to miss every once in a while and so forth. Just give it up waiting for answers. Just start waiting. And that's the Black Five View process. All he's doing is waiting. He's not even waiting for an effect anymore. He's just waiting. You ever seen one of these boys? Ever process anybody like that? They sit there and they wait. Well, the more alert case is going to wait for an effect, you see? The more alert case is going to wait for an effect. He's still sane, he's still rational, he's still all right. But after a while, he's just waiting. And when he really gets to waiting good and thoroughly, you've got a catatonic schiz. He's in control of the body, but he's waiting for an effect. But he's just waiting. And waitingness becomes the totality of existence. And thus we get obsessive survival. And we're right back to the basics of Dianetics, Modern Science, Mental Health. This waitingness for an answer becomes itself an obsession on survival. When we say survival in Dianetics, we mean survival as a form, don't we? It's a qualified type of survival. But there is no other thing than survival as a theme. Now you can forget what you know, or forget an identity you may have assigned yourself. You can forget that you have a past. You can do all sorts of things to wipe out an identity as of yourself. But the truth of the matter is, you couldn't possibly do any other thing than continue along the track. This would be the only thing you could do. As long as you were in the time continuum of one space, you would merely continue in the time continuum, this one space. You see that? There'd be no such thing as your sudden demise in that space. Now we could say, well, I could totally forget my entire past, and therefore we would get more or less the same thing, wouldn't we? We would get a mock-up of death. Oh, wait a minute. Effect against the body? Effect against the body? Create an effect against the body, create an effect against the body, and one day it kicks off. The only way you could ever get the second flow, the only way you could ever get the communication coming back the other way would be to die as a Thetan. But it's impossible, you can't. But you'd have to make a postulate that you would. Or that you could. And about the best stab you could make at it would be to simply say, okay, I'm dead, I've forgotten everything there is to know about it, you see. By this time, when you can die as a thing, you have waited for so many answers, for so long, into so much silence, into so much unknowingness, that you yourself, of course, can become forgetful and silent and unknowing, and that is death. You see that the answer would ultimately become, the only answer you could have would be forgetfulness, silence, and unknowingness. And that would be death as a statement, and so we get a continuation as a new being or something of the sort. You see, the person has to completely make up his mind that he's brand new, that he's forgotten everything, and so on. This is quite a swindle. You get down thinking about it. Now, how good is this as a theory? That's what we should explore. Let's summate it by saying a one-way flow to anything with the idea that it should answer. Remember that one. Will eventually stick one in or as that thing. And we have the formula of entrapment, a one-way flow to anything, any space, any object would eventually stick or entrap one in or as that thing. Now, if this is the case, it sticks up there like a very, very red sore thumb. But all we have to do is furnish some answers to free somebody entirely. All right? What could we do with this as a process? Let's take its crudest manifestation. Let's take its crudest manifestation right now. And just on a little bit of group processing here for a few minutes. Let's see if this isn't right. Okay. Walk up your stomach saying yes. Not just once, but many times. Have your stomach say yes, yes. You get your stomach saying yes, and you'll have to say yes many times. Got your stomach saying yes? Say yes one more time. Okay, now I have to say no. Say no many times. Not no to anything, just have to say no. Now have your stomach say thank you. Now have your stomach say, I'll feed you. Have it say, I'll feed you. Thank you. Have it say, I'll feed you, Sinai. Happening?
No.
A somatic?
Not in the
special. Oh, right.
Body.
Sure. Now have your stomach say thank you, Mama. Have your stomach say thank you, Mama. Better? Getting easier? And his stomach say thank you, Mama. It's getting real easy now. It's getting real easy. Okay. I have somebody out in front of your face say, okay, I'll process you. Do it some more times. Okay, I'll process it. Have it happen some more. Somebody say, okay, I'll process it. Somebody say a lot more times, okay, I'll process you.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Somebody say a lot more times, okay, I'll process you. Getting easier? Somebody say a lot more times, okay, I'll process you. Now is it getting easier? Getting easier now? I'm gonna somebody say a lot more times, okay, I'll process you. Do it some more. Is it real easy this now? Getting a lot easier now? Is it getting real easy now? Getting a lot easier now. Okay, at the right hand wall, say hello. At the front of the room, say hello. At the ceiling, say hello. At the back of the room, say hello. At the floor, say hello, your name. At the ceiling, say hello, your name. At the right hand wall, say hello, your name. The left hand wall, say hello, your name. At the floor, say hello, your name. At the front of the room, say hello, your name. The right hand wall, say hello, your name. The left hand wall, say hello, your name. The ceiling, say hello, your name.
the back of the room. Say hello, your name. The floor, say hello, your name. The front wall, say hello, your name. The right hand wall, say hello, your name. The left hand wall, say hello, your name, several times. The floor, say hello, your name, several times. Come on, let's have the floor, say hello, your name, several times. Have the floor, say hello, your name, several more times. Have the floor, say hello, your name, several more times. Have the floor, say hello, your first name, several more times. Doing that now? Yeah. All right, now let's have the ceiling say hello, your first name, several more times. Times, have a ceiling. Come on, let's have a ceiling. Say hello, your first name, several times. Have a ceiling, say hello, your first name, several more times. And have the front wall say hello, your name. And the back wall, say hello, your name, several times. Okay. So the right hand wall, say hello. The left hand wall, say hello. And the right hand wall, say hello. Say hello. The right hand wall, say hello. The left hand wall, say hello. The right hand wall, say hello. The left hand wall, say hello, your first name. Right hand wall, say hello, your first name. Left hand wall, say hello, your first name. The front of the room, say hello, your first name. Let's go now, come on. Front of the wall, say hello, your first name. And the floor, say hello, your first name. And the ceiling, say hello, your first name. Okay. Okay. Did you ever work with any tools? Like typewriters or machines or cars or anything like that? All right, now let's pick out one that you've greatly associated with. And have it say, okay. Just many times, have it say, okay. Is this Louise? Have it say, okay, many times, very agreeably. Let's say R.C. Okay. Have it say, okay. Very cheerfully. You make it do it easily? Is it getting much easier for it to do it? Does it tend to change locations? So right in the same place? All right, let's have it say, okay. Let's do just that now. Don't worry about anything else. Just have this thing say, okay. Whatever it was you picked. Do that easily? Is it getting easier to do? Well, let's have it say, okay, more cheerfully, more ARC. Any in-graph phrases turn up? Okay, just have it say, okay. Okay. All right. Now let's choose either that one or another one. Choose either that one or another one. A machine, tool, car, typewriter, sewing machine, drill press, anything you've been accustomed to running or you've had a lot of association with. Now you got that, don't you? All right. Now have it say, okay. Have it say okay a few more times. Is it getting real easy? Huh? Is it getting real easy now? Okay. Now what does this thing do? Well, what was this machine up to? I mean, what was it? You know what you had there, right? Now, I had to tell you to do what you consistently told it to do. Let's get this machine. If it was a car, it would tell you to drive. Run. Roll your wheels. If it was a typewriter, I would insist that it tap you. Working out easier now? Getting real easy? Have it tell you what you consistently told it. Okay. Getting real easy? Real easy now? Still tough? Okay, let's find the right hand wall. Find the left hand wall. Find the front of the room. Find the floor. Find your chair. Find the ceiling. Find the right-hand wall. Find the left-hand wall. Find the ceiling. Find the floor. Pick out the realest thing in the room. Is that the realest thing in the room? Get the realest thing in the room. Okay, end of session. Now, do we punch home this argument?
Yesterday I was real innocent and got in trouble. Today I'm real innocent and almost afraid to communicate.
It's much more satisfactory talking to the students to answer the right answer.
They always answer the right answer.
At least they communicate and mark it up.
Yeah, at least they do.
When they mark it up.
Yeah. Well, you see a little bit more about persistence and other things on the track. Anybody get a feeling of waiting very heavily? Anybody get a feeling kind of being hypnotized?
I ended up that way.
Or you didn't get it long enough.
Well, I have a lot of stuff to miss very
All right. Did anybody feel himself exteriorize away from his something?
For about 1 minute.
You felt yourself kind of unstick on something? Exteriorize from something?
Leo Joker is finding that give a communication and expect a specific answer. In other words, the answer that you that's supposed to come back is one that you put there, not the one that.
That's correct. It is expectancy of the answer which makes the slightest aberration occur, of course, because it's all basically consideration. But now we find man pretty bogged down in mechanics and very puzzled as to why he's stuck in this universe and stuck in a body and stuck in this machine and stuck in that job and trapped here and trapped there. And he's completely overlooked the fact that he all got there because he was waiting for answers. Now that is a very crude process, the one I was running on. I told you so, and it is a crude process. It simply rips up the ridges for the yard, tears up things all over the place, but that doesn't mean it isn't an effective process. I suppose that this process, carried forward long enough, would simply exteriorize without any specific significance in the answers particularly, but would exteriorize a fellow from past his others around him, compulsively exteriorizing from them. I mean, if he's obsessively interiorized in them. You've seen the mother who absolutely cannot walk 5 feet away from the child and so forth. Exteriorize from that, get them out of all the machinery they're mixed up with, get them out of the... you could have Earth giving answers, you see, and you could have this universe giving answers and so forth, and you just on that same process, as rudimentary as it is, you could probably boot a person right on out of this universe. You could probably get him then where he wished to be very definitely at will. He would return his own self-determinism to him. So it's not a bad process, it's merely a crude process. The reason it's crude is, as I say, it completely wrecks happiness and all sorts of other minorities. Okay, do we see this now with some clarity how it is waiting for the return of the two-way communication? That is the average thing. Of course, it is the consideration, basically, that is average. You understand? The individual makes a consideration. He does this sort of thing and gets involved in it because he wants to have complications, problems, and so forth. But nevertheless, this is the highest echelon mechanic we have, highest echelon mechanical aspect we have at this time concerning interiorization, entrapment, and mechanics in general. Okay?